Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
American Glutton Podcast has a Patreon. Do you hate commercials? Well, we've got a Patreon. Do you want bonus episodes? That's on the Patreon. Do you want to hang out and chat in our Discord channel? That's part of the Patreon too. We even have an option where you can leave me voicemails. All on the Patreon. So check it out today. Patreon.com/AmericanGlutton. We have a Patreon.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. Trifecta is the perfect tool for diet and maintenance adherence. It reduces time, thought, and effort in making sure I am never without the food I need to succeed. Go to www.trifectanutrition.com/AmericanGlutton, where you will get 40% off your first order. Today on American Glutton, I'm welcoming back the one and only Kevin Smith. We're going to talk about his vegan life and how he keeps his weight off with intermittent fasting and hiking. We're also going to talk about loose skin, autophagy, and all the other big words that Kevin is amazed I know. You can find Kevin on Instagram at That Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith, welcome back to the American Glutton Podcast.
This has been, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
I think
it was pre-pandemic. Now we've lived through the changing of the world.
Let me tell you something. I, as a longtime podcaster, and that's not, you know, fucking bragging or throwing out my bona fides, but I have been podcasting since 2007. Watching you build your show and watching your dedication to it and watching the fucking scope and breadth of the guests that you've been bringing on, nothing short of inspiring.
Thank you, dude.
So happy. Like, that's, it's a lot of people can start, and after 10 episodes, they get a little like, eh, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
You're as committed to it as you are your program, which, you know, I was telling Ethan when he first walked in, his Instagram is one of my favorites, inspiring, because he's always showing the work and stuff. And then even I talked to you when I saw you, Ethan came over, it was last month.
Yeah.
And did a cameo for Clerks 3. Sorry, I just got done walking, so my nose is all runny. I don't want you to think I'm cokey. I'm stony, not cokey.
Or COVID-y. It could be anything.
Exactly. Yes, I don't want you to think I'm COVID-y. But it was, oh, fuck, what was I just saying?
Clerks 3.
So Ethan came over and did a cameo for Clerks 3, which is wonderful. I wanted to show you before we recorded, but we jumped into it. So afterwards, I'll fucking show you. But it's fantastic. So, when he came over last time, I told him, I was like, I can't tell you how much I was appreciative of the post where you talked about extra skin.
Yeah.
That's the fucking part of losing weight that nobody ever tells you about. nobody wants to talk about, because there's, you know, this belief that, like, if you reduce, the whole body reduces. And it's true, but the skin don't reduce.
Skin don't reduce.
It just fucking, like, hangs out with you. And then, you know, there are things one could do about it, and you talked about that and shit, and you were very upfront about it, which was good for me, because every once in a while I go, like, I wonder if I could. And I don't think I got the fucking, no pun intended, but stomach for it. I'm a pussy when it comes to pain, and that process sounds painful.
It's brutal. Yeah. I think loose skin is such an interesting subject, because really, when I lost weight, I waited for my skin to shrink. I was like, I
you thought to, too that I it's did. Like it's probably gonna come
it's
back.
It's gotta come back,
because nobody fucking tells you, man.
You don't
like
know.
There's no, I never knew anybody that was big that lost a bunch of weight, and if I did, the subject of like, hey, what does what? Your body just go back to normal?
Right.
So I knew it wouldn't be right away, like, because when I lost weight, I could see that the skin was drooping and stuff. But I was like, oh, maybe over the course of a year, it just slowly, but it don't.
No.
Like, once you distend it, you have distended it. And then you've got a choice to make, which is like, do you cosmetically do something about it? Or do you be like, you know what? I'll just wear it as a fucking reminder.
Yeah. Shit.
On a certain point, being 51 and married helps make that decision.
Yeah.
Like, if I was out there trying to fucking score, like, you know, I got to fucking dress to impress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be tucking my extra skin in and right. shit. I'd be like, Doc, chop it off. But how bad is it? Like, how you did it?
Yeah.
And it hurts.
I had two surgeries on skin. It's, I mean, look.
What pushed you? Where was it after the year, after seeing it not come back, where you're like, fuck it, I'm going to do something?
I lost a bunch of weight, had all this loose skin.
To say the least.
Yeah. And then I got to say, later on, like even recently into the podcast, I was hesitant to talk about it, because it's like,
it's a big stigma to it, man.
It's fucking tough. I worked hard. I feel finally good about my weight, how I look. I don't want to talk about this thing that was really traumatic.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
But
people know too. Like, I've had people on my Twitter stream be like, hey man, what do you do about loose skin? And then you get some shitty people who are just like, where's your loose skin, bro?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right.
Go fuck right. yourself.
Yeah. Fucking, where are you? Let me see a picture of you, Hoss.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, before you go casting stones.
I get torn up, because there's a few different things. There's like some people selling creams that are purported to reduce loose skin.
But they don't.
They do not. There's some
Snake
people
oil.
Selling diets that are purported to
Snake
lose.
Snake oil.
Skin is an organ. Once it has grown to that size, and there's this one school of thought where it's like, if you fast, autophagy will consume the skin. Human body cannot catabolize skin. It's like a heart or your liver. And
side note on autophagy before we jump into it, because
yeah.
the fact you're the third person on the planet who I've heard use that word in conversation.
Right. It's a real thing.
It is an absolute real thing. I'm a big faster, big believer in the intermittent fast, water fast.
Yeah.
So I think the longest I've done was like 172 hours or something like that. I just got done with a 4-day fast, 96 hours, just water. Some people are like, why don't you just eat right and don't do a crackpot diet? Number one, this is not a crackpot diet. If you know anything about health, and I'm not purporting to know everything about health, but this autophagy that Ethan is talking about, this is how the body fucking repairs itself. And we as human beings don't ever give it time to do that.
Right.
Because we consume as much as we do, the body is constantly in a state of breaking down and transferring and processing and stuff. So when one fasts, whether it be a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever, by day three, I believe it is, day two or three is when autophagy kicks in. And the body does all these miraculous things. I can't tell you how many people on Twitter are like, you're just fucking losing muscle, bro. None of this is true. The body goes right to the stored energy, does not go to the muscles. Also, what the body then does is produce stem cells, something that
it's
rarely gets
to shut off other than child, like babies.
Exactly. But you can promote that as an adult in yourself, just by simply giving your system a break. And think about it like anything else. Some people must think like, well, the break is between breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's like, guess what your fucking body's doing?
Digesting.
Yeah, it's working fucking overtime. And just when it's like, all right, fine. We've got everything put where it needs to be. Oh, fuck, here's more. We're not meant to eat as much as we eat.
Like, we are not meant to eat anywhere near as much as we eat.
I mean, we're not even honestly meant to eat one meal a day. We're fucking hunter-gatherers, which means, like, you eat when you find food. And in the winter, you're fucking real Spartan. So you put on the weight during the summer and the spring so that when the fucking cold comes, you've got insulation. That is the human animal.
We are literally built to store fat.
Yes.
We want
and you body. And I particularly
we are experts.
Have really experts learned how to do it quite well. If anyone's hiring for that sort of thing,
yeah,
we know how to do it.
The thing autophagy won't do,
yeah, is fix the skin.
Is eat your skin. It no. just won't do that. It will eat all your fat, then your muscle, mm-hmm. and then finally your calcium in your teeth. You'll start losing your teeth and your hair,
mm-hmm.
and then it will eat your heart and you will die yeah. before so it eats your skin.
Don't take it too far, kids. Yeah. That's called starvation.
Right.
But like a few days of fast, good for your system, but it ain't going to fix your skin. Nothing right. will fix the skin, apparently, except surgery. It's so weird that you say the skin is an organ. You're absolutely fucking right. That's one of those things I totally forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... It's not malleable, kids.
No.
It's not like your stomach. Now, your stomach, you could distend, and I have distended my stomach. But over time, you can train your stomach back to a smaller size. If you're only putting in this much food all the time, it does shrink from what I understand.
It's not built the same as skin. Skin is built to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose the weight quickly, it's built to go back. Once it's stretched out, Your body always wants to store more fat. So once it's totally taut, it goes, I better grow this big so that I have the room to store more fat.
Isn't that fucking amazing? So like my body's doing exactly what it should.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm at war with my body. And yeah. my body, like, I can't wait to meet my body when I die and have the conversation where yeah. he was like, bro,
if we just got on the same page.
Yeah, like, fucking what the fuck, man? It was all about joy in my world. We could have eaten anything we wanted. But
I have
that led
such,
to an operating table.
Right. I have such dark thoughts about the evolution of the human species and how I think for so long we fought against famine because that wiped out groups of people prior to reproductive age. And
agreed.
That's really when you can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn to store fat really adequately. And now we come to this bountiful time where every 7-Eleven could feed 100 people for months.
Absolutely. With a lot of empty calories too.
Useless stuff.
You might as well eat cardboard
yeah.
to some degree. I mean, a lot of cardboard might kill you, but like this stuff does nothing. I remember I was blown away the day my wife told me, she's like, you're supposed to shop the outer rim of the food store.
Right.
And I was like, why? And
all
she's
the
like,
good
think about
inside.
It. And I thought about it and I was like, vegetables, fruit, milk. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. She's like, the more aisles you move into the store, the more everything's box processed and made to sit there on a shelf for a long time.
Yeah.
Food is very difficult for folks like us. It baffles people sometimes when it's like, well, can't you just, and it's like, no, I can't just, I got an eating disorder. And my eating disorder is I won't stop.
Yeah.
I have portion control issues. I realize I'm really good at it. Like a few years back when I was post heart attack, I was terrified to die. So, you know, I would leave the house to go eat at Veggie Grill once a day. And that is fucking it. And that made all the difference. Pandemic comes and you're eating in the house and you're eating in the house twice a day and you're eating in the house three times a day and you can get anything delivered to the house now via Postmates and fucking you need comfort food at a time like this and there'll be time to remove the weight later. I got some room. Yeah. And then you find yourself not back where you were, but I put on weight and I had to take weight fucking off and stuff like between early December, like I went out to Jersey to do a thing with Jay at the Secret Stash, took pictures of somebody and shit, and I was able to wear my blazer and shit very comfortably. I just yesterday put on my blazer for the first time since then.
Hadn't had it on since then.
Couldn't. Like it would have looked like fat guy in a little coat. And somebody on Twitter was just like, I just saw you early in December. How is that possible? But I'm like, hang out in my house for a week, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you give me something to watch and you give me something to just sit there and feed with and I'll feed over the course of 2 hours. You know, I won't fucking like eat in the first 5 minutes of the movie and watch the rest. What makes this movie even better is the constant fucking sense of satiety. Like, oh, yes. Fucking,
yeah.
That's good. This is good. Life is good. So I know what my bad habits are and shit. And sometimes they get the best of you. Like I, you know, you've done an excellent job of dedication to the craft of rebuilding yourself. But even you said that, like, there have been times where you struggle still.
You get to, well, you know, I struggle. My wife and her family want to go out to eat a lot. Mm. For me, that's a killer, because if I'm not totally control over, like, how many calories is this? How much protein? How much fat? If I go to a restaurant, even if I say steam everything, I'm not totally sure. And then once I'm not totally sure, it's like, well, I can have a bite of the appetizer. I can have a bite of this. And suddenly I'm not sure of anything anymore, yeah. You know?
And then the guideposts by which you lead your life now, which led you to health, suddenly get moved.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be antisocial, and you want to be with your family, and you want to be able to fucking, like, I started to fast, and it was 2 days into it. And that was Gail, my mother-in-law's birthday. We had a dinner for her. And my kid was like, you can't not eat. It's Nana's birthday. You know, and I don't want to say no to the fucking kid, but at the same time, I want to be like, yeah, but I'm trying to accomplish something here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easier for you. She's younger. She trains like 5 days a week and shit. And she, you know, one day I went to her trainer and I was like, this ain't for me at all. I'll stick to hiking and running. But all right. But anyway, back to loose skin. So you were like, you didn't want to talk about it with anybody.
I didn't want to talk about it after I had basically handled it. But then to complicate everything, look, I had the worst possible outcomes with this that you could
have. You had a bad experience, like compared to even most.
I got cut in half, sewn together, got home, was on a bunch of medication I'm really not supposed to be on for sobriety reasons. Had severe anxiety, like every minute sitting still, thought, I'm just getting fat, I'm stretching the loose skin, became active too early, fell over, tore my side open.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Huge.
That hurts.
So bad that they couldn't sew me back up. So the entire last season of My Name is Earl, I have something called a wound vac hooked up to me, where it's basically just sucking the liquid away, and you got a machine pumping it
that
out.
You hold, that you put on a harness over your arm or something.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan had that on Cop Out.
Yeah.
He had a hole in his foot.
Right.
And they had the machine in the
constant, because you can't, if it's really bad, you can't sew it up.
Oh my God, that's so fucking horrifying.
Horrible. And my wound really was about the size of a football, and it took, God, 8 months to heal, to be off the wound vac.
What is the process? What do they actually do?
I don't know I mean, they draw a bunch of lines on you, and you're like, Jesus, what do all these lines mean? And they're like, these are guideposts, and we're going to go up here and pull it down here. And they basically just cut a section of skin out and then pull you together.
And then re-sew.
And re-sew you. But you got tubes. I had 6 tubes coming out of me, pulling liquid out of me. Those tubes were in there for a while. Then I fell and tore myself open. So then I had a wound vac into, it was, dude, it was so, like,
in retrospect, would you do it again?
I couldn't do it today. Right. I think if I went back to that moment, probably, this was like 15 years ago now.
Is this what happened? You did this 15 years ago?
2007.
So this is before you even started, like, jacking up.
Yeah.
What about, so wait, getting jacked, is that affected at all?
Well, then I had that accident, tore myself open, was really down for the count, and gained a bunch of weight. And I gained 2009 and 10. I went almost back up to 400 pounds.
When?
2010.
When were you bike riding?
That's when I started bike riding. After that, I got up to about 400 pounds. That was the
fucking
life.
I mean, now you look fucking insanely different too, but I remember seeing you fucking bike riding, and
yeah,
you were like, you had chicken legs.
That was probably 2011.
I was, Jesus Christ, motherfucker, yeah, like, is actually biking. How many miles did you spike?
400 a week. It was a lot of bike riding.
That
it was like 8
so
hours a
much
day.
Fucking bike riding.
Yeah.
You by yourself?
By myself. By myself and with groups, a little bit of both.
Did you wipe out? Is that why you stopped, or did you just stop?
I did wipe out.
So that happened in Byron, my father-in-law. He biked all the time. He'd do 50, 60, 80 miles. Motherfucker's like in his 70s. And then one day he was done with a bike ride with a buddy, pulled into the lot, fucking just to their cars, hit a tiny ass little dirt patch, busted his goddamn hip and fucking put him out. So he won't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I wound up in a hospital in Temecula.
What happened?
I was coming down a hill. We rode from like Laurel Canyon and Mulholland to Palos Verdes, which is pretty far.
Yeah, fuck.
Up the hill, around the hill, and we're riding back and coming down the hill. I crashed, broke my helmet. I got 37 stitches in my forehead. My skull was exposed.
That's right. We talked about that last time.
Jesus herniated Christ. Quad. Like, I was really torn up. And I did ride a little bit after that, but...
But it made you reticent to get back on a bike? Like, fuck that.
And Brandy was also like, look, dude, we're not rich people. At some point, you got to go back to work. All you're doing is riding your bike. And we're now you're not, getting hurt.
Also not young people. Either.
Right. Yeah. We're adults here. Like,
bike riding years are beyond you.
Dude. Yeah. If you can figure out a way to make money doing this, by all means.
Exactly, man. Can you fucking turn this into a remake of Quicksilver?
Yeah.
Then you've got fucking the best of both worlds.
Yeah. But here you are in the hospital and you've only ridden your bike for the last year. Let's go try to get some jobs.
Do you think... It's clear, easy to say that you and I have addictive personalities. Do you think the pendulum just swings and you're like, now it's all the bike? Because if it ain't the bike, I'm thinking about that or the food or this.
I do, but I also think it's an attempt at other things. Like, it's an attempt to swing it away from something destructive. So where I want to eat or do drugs.
Like how Jay used to... play blackjack instead of fucking doing heroin and then poker and then the fucking Hobbit game, right. You know, where you build farms and shit. All these things where he would go deep and get addicted and you were like, oh, he's replacing one bad thing, one bad addiction with a good addiction.
Right.
But still, addiction's addiction. Your lady was just like, stop riding your fucking bike.
Yeah. She's like, let's fucking practice moderation. It took me 10 years basically to come to a place where I think today I've found some moderation. I spend an hour in the gym. Mm. I am able to go out to dinner with her when she wants, although I do limit it. She would go out to eat 5 times a week. And I'm like, once a week, twice a month would be more preferable. But I'll do that. And I'm not going to only order steamed stuff. Right.
Right.
And trying to claw my way towards moderation. But that's my biggest issue. So I don't know moderation.
Me neither. Me and moderation never been a friend. I know discipline.
Right.
But I don't and can't. I have a hard fucking time practicing moderation. Like when I talk about fasting, they're like, if you could fucking not eat food for like a week, why can't you just portion control? And I'm like, why can't I?
Right.
Like,
you tell me.
Yeah. It reminds me of how, you know, I'd always get on Jay's dick and be like, why can't you just stop doing heroin?
Right.
You know, like,
or just do so much that you can live just, a normal life.
Yeah. Dude, a little heroin. Yeah. Why, you know, why can't you stop at a glass? Why does it have to be 2 glasses of heroin? But that's mine. You know, it's so sweet of him for years to never be like, hey, asshole, why can't you stop at like 10 ho-hos? Right. But like, he never did and stuff. But we all have our thing. And I know for a fact, I'm a 51-year-old man. I know me better than anybody on fucking Twitter, that it's easier for me to not eat than it is to eat. 100%. Eating for me is fraught with peril because it's just like, unless I'm in a room and somebody's like, here is your portion and that's it. And there's no fridge over there and you can't fucking order in or anything like that. Even while I'm on my best behavior, I started like a bean program recently where I'm like just doing black beans for a while. See what happens and stuff. All protein black bean. And, you know, I had a thing of black beans and then I found myself sauntering in the kitchen and be like, what else is in here? You know, and then I had to drag my, and then I made more beans and then sat down. And was like, look, fucking just bean it. Like, if you're going to eat the thing that you said you're going to eat. You know how many calories are in this fucking thing.
Right.
You eat this can, it's 270 calories. You know, fucking go take a walk, you can take that off.
Right. And by the way, try to eat 10 cans and overdo it. Try.
Yeah. Especially with beans.
Right.
Although I'll be honest with you, I might be able to do it.
Really?
I fucking love beans.
Bro. No salt, no oil, well, just beans?
I didn't say that. Okay. I put everything spice on, you know, like in Trader Joe's has a everything but the bagel.
Yes.
So it's the everything part.
Well, that makes everything delicious.
Makes it fantastic.
It's real.
But if I had to, I could eat the beans plant. It just wouldn't be nearly as enjoyable.
Yeah. I would bet you'd have a hard time getting through 10 cans of beans.
But I would have no hard time getting through like 10 cans of pudding.
Right. No, me neither. 10 pounds of pudding and room to spare. Like, yeah. And then I'm eating the cakes also.
Oh, bro. It was, I'm telling you, it like over the holiday, over that period from like December to January, I just like, it's when you're outside and inside yourself. and you see what you're doing and you cognize what you're doing, but then some part of your brain is like, you'll have time to correct this. And, you know, that kind of thinking led me to a heart attack.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm lucky enough that after a heart attack, they put me on some blood thinners and shit because, you know, that was my thing. I had blocked cholesterol in my fucking blood. Now I'm plant-based, so any cholesterol in there hopefully is the good stuff or the usable cholesterol. But don't matter. I fucking looked at death, and you would think that'd keep a motherfucker straight for life. But then, you know, I don't want to. This ain't putting them down because I love them to death. But I found me this vegan bakery in the valley that makes conchas and fucking porquitos and all these fucking like amazing Mexican desserts, all fucking vegan.
Right.
So there's like 4 weeks where I was just like every day. They loved me there. They were like, Kevin. I was like, hi. And it was tasty as fuck, but like I'm still working it off. You know? And it's tough to say fucking no when you find good things. It's tough to keep food in the perspective I need to keep it in. I can't speak for all, but for me, it has to be just fuel. It can't be entertainment. It can't be pleasure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's pleasure, I want more and 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 more of it.
I think that that's, and again, I can't speak for all, but I know my experience, I think, is pretty much the same as yours.
Yeah.
And when I've tried to do, I tried to do the, not the vegan version, but the no carb version. So I'm not going to eat carbs, and then I guess I'll be okay, right? There is a diet out there that really sells. If you just get rid of carbs and high fat, you're going to lose weight and you're going to be fine. And I think that any radical change to your diet at weights like mine and like yours at our peaks, any change, you're going to lose weight.
Yes.
But then you get to the point where you're like, no, I'll eat 7 ribeyes today, and that's 5,000 calories, and I'm going to gain fat, even if I'm still losing glycogen stored in my muscles as water weight, I'm going to develop fat. And
I'm so fucking smart and studied at this. I can't tell you the last time I heard anybody, including my doctor, use the term glycogen.
Glycogen autophagy. We're doing a fucking scientific episode.
We are 2 of the smartest dumb guys you'll ever meet, kids.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get smart about certain things when it has to do with you.
Yeah.
And who knows you better than fucking you, man? So good for you fucking with that terminology. Anyway, back to you.
I worry for people when it's like, if you just do X, and look, I think there's probably many people who could just do X and have great success. And then I think if anybody's like me or like you, X isn't enough.
No,
it's just not.
That's the sad truth, man. And that's the one thing that, like, when you pass on to people, when I dropped a bunch of weight, cats were like, how do you do it, man? I was like, I'll tell you, but you're really not going to want to hear it.
Right.
I went plant-based. I reduced my caloric intake, and I have to move every day, like an hour. I go hiking, I go walking. And people are like, yeah, but what's the secret?
Right.
You're like, well, that's kind of it.
It's really tough.
And that's for, like, imagine if you're all right. Like, sometimes these fucking thin people with, like, you know, maybe 2 pounds extra on them are like, oh, I want to be like you. And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
shit.
You. All you have to do is, like, take off a weekend at best, and you'll be emaciated and shit. I got to, like, fucking seriously put in a month's time on Runyon to start seeing results.
Right.
Like, I'm now on today was day 46, I think, or 47, 46. And I'm seeing results, like, last week, this week, even more. I'm like, all right. Because for a minute there, I was like, did I forget how to do this?
Right.
And I did, Ethan, because I realized I was hiking every day. And I did not reduce my caloric intake.
Right.
So the moment I did that.
Change.
My body started eating the fat.
Yeah.
And again, for anyone out there that's just like, oh, it's going to eat your muscle. It won't do that until it gets through the fat. And kids got a lot of fat to get through. Right. Oh, my God. My body could eat out on me for like a good month before it touched muscle.
Yeah.
It's there. It's and, you know, that's. That's how I approach it. I don't endorse it for everybody.
Right.
But, you know, for me, it was like, if you're gonna be hiking that fucking shitty hill every day, like, I hate it. I wish it would come to me, but I gotta keep going up it. But if you're gonna keep doing that every day, makes no sense. Come home, eat a bunch of fucking fried food.
Yeah.
What's, you know, you're not gonna see what you want.
No, I mean, even if we go back into the science, and of course this is all, there are no absolutes in science, and this is all just like statistical analysis and all of that. The majority of people are never going to be able to create a big enough deficit over a long enough period of time just using exercise.
Mathematically speaking.
Mathematically speaking, there's other things that happen. Like, there's something called the NEAT, non-exercise active thermogenesis. So we're sitting here talking.
Non-exercise active thermogenesis. So is that burning calories by being alive?
It's more than being alive. Being alive would be just thermogenesis, your basal metabolic rate.
Oh my God. Listen to this motherfucker, man.
Yeah, watch. NEAT.
Willem, of all people.
NEAT is us talking. NEAT is walking to the bathroom.
Yes.
NEAT is using your hands. So when you get deep, if you just increase exercise, right, your body is going to fight against this by slowing down your movement. You might go to the bathroom twice less throughout the day. You might stop talking with your hands. It's literally going to stop you from using energy.
Is that right?
Not cognitively. It's all subconscious. It's just physical.
It's just the body trying to be like, look, you don't know what you're doing. We're taking over.
Yeah. So you try to outdo your calories with exercise, your body's going to go, well, we're going to pull back some of your movement from other places to make up for it.
Interesting.
Maybe not 100%, but no matter what, the caloric deficit, like going like, how much do I need? Okay, I'm not going to eat that much, is the cleanest way to success.
Right. Finding the number.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't, but like you, I doubt that you're crunching numbers every day. You don't have to crunch numbers, mm-mm, but you know, I mean, I think you can do it the way you're doing it. Like, if you just eat to the point where you're losing weight, you're in a caloric deficit, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, swap out calorically dense foods like Ho-Hos and Twinkies for vegetables or something like this. That will put you into it. It doesn't have to be math.
There was somebody the other day, what I put up on Twitter, like, that I was doing fast and then kicking in this black bean program. And I did the quick math.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal, and I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. 4 flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free.
It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Like, if I do a serving of black beans a day, it's like 300 calories, something like that. And then that means if I go hiking for an hour, blah, 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 burn, gets burned off. And then, you know, there were a bunch of people that were like, stop trying to math this. Think about that 300 calories is the energy your body's going to need to get up Runyon. And I'm like, yes, bitch. If I was fucking thin like you,
right?
I don't need the energy to get up Runyon. I've got it. Like, that's the thing, is I need to harness what's already there. So when people give you all sorts of fucking advice and they give it without fucking, not just walking in your shoes, but wearing your clothes, knowing how to be a dense human fucking being and shit like that. You know, it's like, think, motherfucker. Like, why would I need more energy?
Right.
That's why the caloric deficit works for a person like me, because I'm trying to use up this shit. Somebody described it as like, you know, people are always saying, I think it was Ray Cronies who does that Just Desserts program. He's like, people always say that like food is fuel for the body. And he's like, that's not. So food goes into an oil refinery in the body, and then the body changes that oil into food, just like an oil refinery takes the crude and refines it into fuel. But it's storing. It's constantly storing because it's trying to save your life in the future.
Yeah.
Body don't know how good we have it. Body doesn't understand that you could call Postmates. It's never going to starve and shit. Body just knows what it's known through all of evolution, which is, hold on to the fat, hold on to the fat, hold on to the fat. And for some people, that don't seem to be an issue. God bless them. For people like us,
we got it.
Lifelong struggle.
Yeah. I.
But right now, winning the battle.
Right.
In a way that, like, honestly, think about it. Did you ever think you'd look like this in your life?
Never.
Me neither.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I looked like this in high school.
Right.
So I was like, well, those days are gone. I'm, you know, used to, I branded fat man. I was like, well, there it is. I'm in. And then post heart attack, when I dropped the weight, I'm like, this is possible. Like, it's, I do look different. I see pictures of myself. I just saw one today that Malcolm sent me. Me, him, and Mosier getting on this prom bus that I rented up in Canada to take us back to New York. And I'm fucking huge.
Right.
Like, I it's not even like, it's, oh my God, it's an inflated version. I don't even look like I currently fucking look. It was really baffling to me. I wasn't wearing backwards baseball caps. That was something I only did in the movies at that point. Now I just do it in real life. Now the line is blurred. And same thing for you. Like, think about where you've been and where you are now. I can't imagine you ever, like, saw yourself as being jacked.
Well, how about us in, there's a picture of us in a hot tub.
Bro, wearing shirts.
We're wearing
shirts. I'll tell you right now, if we recreated that shot, I'm still wearing a fucking shirt. I don't give a shit how much better I do look. But, and I do, I'm honestly thinner than I was on fucking Mallrats.
Right. But yeah.
But still, I ain't fucking getting a no hot tub without a shirt on.
I was thinking that same thing. We would still have our shirts on.
Totally.
I would, I've.
But you could have, like, fucking one of the white t-shirts on. It's all wet and clingy.
But I wore a white t-shirt anyway and never thought about it. I always thought that the white shirt, this is my shield. I put on my white shirt and you can't see anything.
So weird, man. I just went through some clothes. My mom was like, there's this man who was helping me with my phone at the phone store. And he's, you know, like, big guy. Do you have any of your older clothes and stuff? And I was like, I do. Let me dig them up. And so I went digging through my old clothes, and I was comfortable. Now, comfortable means it's got breathing room. It's not form-fitting, drapey. But I was comfortable in an 8XL hockey jersey.
8X.
Yes. When you see me for a large period of my Edmonton colors wearing years, you know, when I'm wearing that jersey.
Right.
I get up to 8XL on those jerseys.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even think I saw any. But
now, to be fair, their hockey jerseys are big.
They stretch too over pads, right?
There's, well, I was wearing goalie cut as well, which means that like they're intended to be worn over huge fucking pads.
Right.
But you want to talk about moo-moo, you could swim in that fuck. And the problem with that is there's room to grow and you will.
Yeah.
Because I did. I look at that guy and I'm like,
how can't relate to him at all. I put on recently a Remember the Titans jersey that I found in a box, and I have a picture of myself wearing it and it's taut, and I put it on and it's just unimaginable. And this was made for me. So there's no X's in it, because it was just, they measured me and built this dress essentially. Now,
hold on a second. You worked at Denzel?
Three times.
That's right. You were in the Train movie as well.
Train movie and John Q.
Ethan's going to come over on my podcast and do, by the time this airs, you've probably already been on Film School Fridays.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I'm like, what? We'll talk about that in another. This is not the time nor place, but
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Gigantic.
Really?
Fucking
could you and your lady have gotten into it?
Easy. No
could
problem.
You have fit a good child with
Smith,
you guys?
I found the fucking green army jacket from Mullins.
I know. I saw the picture. It was
also
amazing.
Gigantic.
Yeah. You put up the pic. I was like, this is crazy. I can't believe you still got the jacket.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I found a box. I have American History X shirt, Mallrats jacket, Remember the Titans. I have fucking movie paraphernalia.
Bro, I flat out forgot you worked with Ed Norton too.
Yeah, I got him that Academy Award nomination.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
If not for me.
Was he, you know how they're always like, that dude's a perfectionist. Was he like that? That was the movie where he fought with the director a lot, right?
Yeah.
Tony K.
Who, and I think Tony K, if he heard this, wouldn't be insulted, is truly out of his mind, like a nutty artist guy.
Right.
I didn't see that kind of stuff on set. Afterwards, it happened. Afterwards. But Tony K did something like when he went in to demand another $10 million to reshoot some big portion of the movie from the perspective of a homeless woman. He brought a rabbi, a priest, and a Buddhist monk, and they spoke for him. So, like, he was doing shit like that.
Fascinating.
Tony K, here's what...
True artist.
Tony Story. Yeah. I'm on set. Tony K tells me this story. He says, I'm an artist, really an artist. I was invited to have a piece in the Saatchi Art Gallery, some show, and I brought my piece. They said, we won't show this. I sued them. I won a whole bunch of money. I framed the check. I had them hang that. So he's like a real maniac.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So what did you wear in that movie? T-shirts?
I wore a pest control button-down shirt, probably built for me also.
And so you found that?
Yeah.
Did you swim in it?
Swam. Like unbelievable.
How amazing. That must feel fucking fantastic.
It's crazy, dude. By the way, when you go hiking, have you ever hiked with weights?
No, and I thought it's so weird you say that, because today I was hiking up and I saw some guy coming down and he was carrying a fucking barbell that had two gigantic black fucking weights that you would see at a fucking...
At a gym.
Like, yeah, but like not a, you know, oh, I'm going to do yoga. Like a gym where motherfuckers right. like, aah! And doing that.
Yeah.
He was like carrying it. He's coming down the hill, but like...
He had to get it up there.
You know what I'm saying? And it looked fucking heavy. I didn't quite catch the weight, but like... Let's say 50 and 50.
Yeah.
The weights were that big and that fucking like heavy looking. Dude's carrying 100 pounds. Are you talking about just like hand weights or leg weights or what does one do?
I threw a 35 pound weight. Now, listen, you and I've lost a shitload of weight. I suspect at your heaviest, you make it to the top of Runyon. Even if it's really hard, you're out of breath.
Yeah.
I threw a 35 pound kettlebell in a backpack once and went for a hike and
was destroyed.
No, but like, destroyed, and this is 300 pounds lighter than my heaviest.
Did you think, like, was it ever so bad that you were like, I'm gonna leave this kettlebell right here?
I really thought
about really it. And yeah. You're like, fuck this kettlebell.
I really thought about it.
Why? What possessed you? What was it? Well, here, what's the health benefits carrying a 30 pound kettlebell?
Probably nothing, just extra effort. But I was like,
what does the extra effort get you? More loss?
Higher heart rate, really the majority of your weight loss is through your breath. So the more you're breathing.
Wait.
Here's, this is going to blow your mind. Your body is a machine, a gas producing machine. You put food in, your combustion engine, which requires it to heat up, to cook, to use that energy, is then expelling the majority of your weight loss through your mouth. It's not pee. It's not sweat. It's not shit. It's breath.
Who says?
That's just how you lose weight.
That's fucking astounding. I've never heard that in my life. So then while I'm hiking, as many fucking breaths as possible.
Don't try to hyperventilate yourself. No.
I'm like, he said, you lose weight. Yeah. Oh God, I'm passing out.
No, but the more you breathe, the more your body happens. Is working. Yes.
That's fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
So about these motherfuckers that like, you know, I'll go hiking with Jen and like, I'm like, and she's like,
yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
And no effort for them. They've got a better system than we do.
I see people when I hike, I see, you know, there are people I pass. It always makes me feel like, right on, because they're younger than me. But then there are people that like smoke past me, and I always cognitively reframe it for them where I'm like, yeah, well, if I fucking weighed what you weighed, I also would be smoking right fucking past me as well.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, I had a heart attack, motherfucker. Just all the shit that you rolled through your head.
Yeah. When I do that with dudes on doing squats, because I have destroyed my knees and I can't do heavy squats. So I'm always in there doing light squats, feeling judged by everyone.
They're like, you call that a squat?
Yeah, exactly. And then you see some smaller dude throw up huge weights and they're getting their ass to the floor. And I'm like, yeah, but I was three. I mean, I did that every day.
You're like, that's well done, newbie.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been there. Did you ever see anybody fucking have a prolapsed anus from doing that shit?
No.
Because a photo online I saw like 25 years ago still haunts me. Of a dude, a lifter, and he was doing the deadlift.
Yeah.
And it was heavy. The dude, his muscle shot out of his fucking asshole. It was
and
a prolapsed anus.
Pants?
I don't think he ripped through his pants, but they had the picture of him with the pants down. And it was like, who knew that was a fucking thing? I remember from that day forward, I was like, well, it's a good reason not to fucking do that. I never deadlifted anything in my life.
Yeah, I won't do anything heavy. I'm so into like the idea of never getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to do anything extreme. I want to be able
to. You don't have to get hurt to do what you did.
No.
Is that true?
No. Honestly,
they say no pain, no gain. No.
Yeah, okay, but pain could mean anything. Pain could be just getting out of bed is painful, right?
No kidding.
It could be really tough. Or
the idea of hiking running to me is painful. I'm like, oh God.
And the way I work out, it's all in these like 6-week cycles, basically. And I'm not going to really anywhere near failure until the last week. And then it's only for a week. And so that's a painful week, but I'm actually harming myself.
When you say 6 weeks, a cycle, explain.
I start off relatively easy. And then each week I increase the volume, and volume could be actual weight, reps and sets. That all those three things would equal volume. So maybe it's a little bit of weight or another set. And then the next week it's the same amount of sets but a little bit more weight. And then the week after that it's maybe both.
What happens at the end of week 6?
At the end of the week 6, so week 1 I'm also going where I got 3 in the tank of everything. So if it's bench press, I could do it 3 more times perfectly and I'm hanging the bar up. Week 2, maybe 2 in the tank, and I'll do 2 in the tank for 3 weeks. Week 5.
And 2 in the tank means just when you hit your number, you're like, 2 more.
If I could do 2 more, I'm hanging it up. And when I say 2 more, I don't mean that the bar is on my chest. I mean a perfect repetition.
Right.
Once anything goes out on the repetition, I'm struggling. You hear like, it doesn't look great. I failed.
Right.
That's failure. And so I'm never getting to that point until the last week.
Mm.
And even then, nothing's that heavy.
But what happens at 6? When you say 6 weeks, is there then a break?
Yes. Then there's an easy week where it's not laying in bed, but it's nothing like it's been.
Right.
And then basically, I start over, maybe change the exercises.
And then
the
6 week begins again?
Yeah. And it's not exactly the same. It'll be a little bit more than the beginning of the prior cycle.
So it's 6 on, 1 kind of off,
six
on, but different. And we'll kind of, you eventually cycle back to that say first what we, you know, the one, yeah. whatever you did first.
Let's say I
started. Or do you have to change it each and every time?
No, no, you don't. I don't change it, but I always want to be a little bit more every time I start.
So, all right. So at the end of 6 weeks, you take your week ish break. Then when you started the next 6 weeks, you pushed it to bigger numbers, bigger reps.
Could be 2.5 pounds on a bench press.
Is that right?
Literally, that's it. But that 2.5 pounds would be 2.5 pounds above the prior week one. And so every cycle, I want to be getting stronger.
And that's that will do it by adding more weight to it.
Yeah. And I'll never get to be doing anything that heavy.
The body gets used to... Sorry, kids. I'm like fucking... We're sitting here talking about health, and of course, I'm smoking a joint. What the body gets used to, like, I'm me hiking Runyon 4 miles door to door. At a certain point, when my body be like, yeah, and?
It will not, like, okay, whatever you get out of that right now, at a certain point, your body will do it more efficiently.
Meaning I'll be better at it.
You'll be better at it.
I'm already feeling that part.
So then the idea would be, and look, I'm a big believer in rest time too, to allow the body to recuperate. But the idea would be go at a faster pace, a little bit.
Or add
distance.
And time.
Yeah.
And
But time gets really complicated because, like, let's say you're doing a very steady pace on a treadmill and you start out with 20 minutes. You don't want to add time forever because eventually you're just on the treadmill all day long, right? So it would be, the idea would be to pick up the pace a little bit, put it on a little bit more of an incline, something like that. If you've got a loop on Runyon, the best metric would be clocking your time and trying to beat yourself.
That's what to do.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I was like, well, I guess I could add more distance, but it's like, how about you start timing it and be like, pick up the pace.
Right. Okay. Took me an hour today. Next week, I want to do it in 59 minutes. Literally,
my door to door is like, it's when it started was 90, and now it's down to 80.
So you're already naturally doing that.
And without that, but now I get why. Because the body's efficient, like, oh, we know how to do this.
Yeah.
But
and
now,
we're here, and now, we
now it's like, all right, if it's 80, try bringing that motherfucker to 70.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go try. Here's the problem.
75.
If you try to go 70 immediately from 80, because that's like a fucking 12 or 15% increase, right?
So you take it in half of that.
I would do it more gradually.
Look, easier is my middle name. Yeah. So fucking, if you give me the ticket, I'm taking that ticket. I'm punching it. And I'm going to fucking take the easier ride.
Yeah.
That's fucking good thinking, man. That's the fucking smoke right there, man. That's going to be useful. That's going into the DNA. That already fucking lodged in there. I'm going to be thinking about you when I'm going up that hill and I'm like, I can't believe I'm still doing this. And be like, you should be doing it faster, motherfucker. I'm like, God damn it. Pick up the pace.
When you think about all of this stuff, your diet, the walk, do you think about, do you ever think about lifetime and like that this is something that you will likely be afflicted with for life?
Yes. I think about it all the time where I'm just like, well, right now, particularly, this is like what started as like, I'm going to, you know, I used to walk, hike Runyon, say 5 times a week, take the weekends off or whatever the fuck. Now I've been on this like stretch, streak. And so I'm like, why not go every day?
Yeah.
It's right there. Generally, we got the good weather. What's your excuse? Like, you know, do you need a cheat day? You've had a cheat life. Like, right. How about you just fucking? So I've been committed to like doing it every day. And as I've been doing it every day, at a certain point, the thought crosses my mind where I'm like, I'll probably die doing this and not die doing this. Like, you know, this is going to kill me, but I will have to do this till I fucking die.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if I'm lucky enough to make it to a fucking ripe old age and I don't bust a hip or anything, I doubt I'll be doing Runyon. But I'll be honest, I see motherfuckers going up the hills. Like, we live in the hills here. And so I see motherfuckers go up the hills all the time, white haired, old, you know, like you don't, this is weird sell for the great state of California, but I'm not going to say it's the fountain of youth, but aging slows down here. Proof positive of that, like, even at age 96, he almost hit 96 right before he passed away. Or was it 96? Was about to hit 97? No, 90. It was going to be 96 because I was at his 95th birthday. Stan Lee looked 75.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about living out here. Like, you know, I think it is because you don't have to spend as much time indoors based on weather. Promotes activity, promotes health. There's, you know, lifestyle choices out here, which aren't like, hey, man, you want a dollar value meal? You could eat fucking healthy. You could work out. This, out here, people seem to be into that, health conscious, appearance conscious. So being out here helps, I think, more than if I lived like almost any place else. But I do realize that this is like a lifetime sentence. And what I'm going to need to do over time is not define it as a sentence,
right?
But a privilege.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm still, you know, I fucking 4 years ago today, Ethan.
Today.
Yeah.
Was, I didn't know that.
Was the heart attack, the Widowmaker that almost took my life, which I was told was an 80% chance of dying, 20% chance of living. I was on Mick Garris's podcast, who also had a Widowmaker. And he was like, that's not right. And I was like, oh, I felt like outlandish. He goes, it's 83% chance of dying, 17% chance of making it through.
Right.
So, you know, what's a hike a day?
Yeah.
As long as it's above ground.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows what happens when it all shuts down. But then, you know, I'd rather bitch about having a hike running every day than people be like, he was a good guy. Till he, you know, dropped dead. Poor son of a bitch.
Right. We'll miss him.
Yeah. Should hike run anymore. Yeah. Whatever. Fuck. So I get it that it's like, this is something that's a privilege. It's keeping me alive. Yeah. You know, and that's, I just got to cognitively reframe it. And I bet you I'll get there because right now I'm still like, now it's rewards based, right? Now getting up every day and fucking putting on an outfit and fucking hiking up Runyon is like, A, I'll get a picture to feed into social media. B, I'll have a picture for myself. So I'll be able to fucking see if my face is getting back to where I want my face to be.
Yeah.
The shape of my face. And then B, God, what was the other? It wasn't just that. Oh, you look better.
Right.
You're like getting closer to what I like. You're like now I have a standard based on like the previous, you know, ever since the heart attack, when I dropped the weight, I'm like, well, I like, it's like that. And that picture when I get my feet at the Chinese theater, that to me has gold standard Kev.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I weigh there. I weigh 198 and I'm fucking in a Hugo Boss blazer, which I thought was cool until I heard they fucking built the suits for the Nazis. So I'm getting rid of that fucking blazer.
How are they not kids?
I don't understand how them and Volkswagen are still in fucking business. Anyway, sidebar. But that to me is the gold standard. So whenever anybody's like, oh my God, you look so much better. I'm like, yes, but I know what my absolute best now is.
Yeah.
And in adulthood. And it's really been hard to not be there. To like look in the mirror and be like, oh, I see 35 pounds on that fucker, you know, and that, you know, you're not back to where you were when you had your heart attack, but that's not where you're not at your best. You're not at your peak. So if it means fucking like walking once a day and, you know, like treat food like a treat or treating eating out like a fucking rare thing, like unfortunately, because of our jobs or fucking whatever, you know, we're in that rarefied circle where you could literally eat out every night if you wanted to. Problem is that way lies ruin.
Right.
You know? So it's about reduction and discipline. And discipline I could be good at. I was disciplined enough to get Clerks made. I'm disciplined enough to like go like, I'm not going to eat for 5 days and not fucking do it. But I'm just not disciplined enough to be like, this portion is fine.
Yeah.
You know, something has to fucking distract me. Otherwise, and God forbid I eat in front of the TV. Unless it's just beans or something like that. I mean, maybe somebody give me, I don't like cauliflower, but if somebody stuck a bowl of cauliflower in front of me, in front of the TV, I wouldn't eat it.
What if you had like some delicious ranch dip?
I don't know. Do you like cauliflower?
No, not at all. I'm not a huge fan of vegetables, but if you got something to dip it in.
What are the vegetables that you choke down that you would not?
I was saying that facetiously because the ranch dip fucks you up.
What are
I will eat cauliflower if pressed. I like to shred cabbage, and I'll eat that until I feel either my wife yells at me because I haven't eaten anything truly green in a while, and then she makes me eat some broccoli.
So wait, cabbage is not green?
She doesn't think it's got the right hue of green to it. It's a little too white.
She's a racist when it comes like, to the fucking color.
This
to
is
the
not
greens.
Green enough. I want you to get some vitamins. Man,
there are lines. What is so what do you do when you're forced to go green? What she calls green.
Broccoli.
And do you like broccoli?
I don't like any of it really. I like broccoli fondue. I like broccoli covered in butter or in a cheese sauce.
So you could eat the broccoli if you dip it into some cheese.
Yeah, but I don't eat cheese, so it's kind of out.
They got that vegan cheese.
Occasionally I'll eat a fat
like
free
a cashew cheese.
Cheese
or something like that. That might be a way to get down broccoli. Fuck, dude. The idea of even just like it's rolling through my head. Just the fucking thought of biting into a piece of broccoli.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
And what happens, like, what about, where are you on, fucking smoothie shakes? If you blend shit, doesn't it, like, lose all its potency? Aren't you supposed to eat this shit and chew it? And
you can blend stuff, and it's perfectly fine. I think with stuff like fruit, when you strip the fiber from it, so when you juice it, not blend, but when you juice it.
Then you're just getting all the sugar.
Yeah, and it hits your body. Like, there's a way that fruit digests with the fiber slowly, and I don't know that it matters if you're having 8 ounces of juice every day, but right. The way I drank juice as a kid, it was like no different than drinking soda.
Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely. But if you were just like doing a green smoothie.
Yeah.
That's as okay as eating the vegetable itself.
Yeah, sure.
Cause I know the fruit thing, they're always like, no man, like if you just fucking, If you're just getting all the sugar from the fruit, not the way nature designed it. You need the fiber to break that shit up, but you're taking all the fiber out. But it's not the same with a vegetable. It's like you could beat the shit out of a vegetable, it'll still be a vegetable.
Yeah, and if you juice it, vegetables aren't as sugary as fruit anyway.
Not
so
nearly.
You could juice it and just get the vitamins and minerals out of a vegetable and probably be okay. I think fiber's really good for the human body, so I'm not advocating to lose fiber, but if you blend it, there's still fiber.
There's still fiber.
Yeah.
So crazy, man. Like, I'm 51. You know, I consider myself a fucking educated man, but the older I get, the more I'm like, I'm dumb as fucking cum. And like, I've lived my whole life. You're the one teaching me about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking, where were all the adults when I was a child to be like, this is the X and this is Y and this is why you do this? Good information.
I think it's good information that every individual should be able to apply to themselves.
Right.
You know, I don't think of any of this shit as like, you should not drink juice. I disagree. I have a diabetic kid. She's got to drink juice when she has low blood sugar.
What kind of diabetic is she?
Type 1.
So is that needles or pills?
Needles.
Oh, it was my dad when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But then she got to pill maintenance. So wait, how often she got to take a shot?
She has a pump that's plugged into her, so every time she eats she has to give herself insulin
by hitting the pump or something.
It's all attached to her phone now.
Oh my god.
But there's like a little catheter. It's crazy.
And it's in the body or outside?
It sits on the outside, but there's a catheter
that goes right in.
Yeah.
Oof.
A needle shoots it in, then the needle retracts and there's a catheter, and she's got another one attached to her that's constantly checking her blood sugar. But if she goes low, a piece of fruit doesn't help her.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What does?
Either something with carbohydrates and fat, or
peanut butter.
Peanut butter on a cracker, or fruit juice.
It's one problem I've never had in my life. Have you ever had low blood sugar?
No.
And I was the son of a diabetic.
Right.
My dad's entire side of the family is fucking diabetic, but so far, I've dodged that bullet.
Yeah, me too.
And if I fucking didn't catch that bullet in the years of fucking Little Debbie, I can't imagine. I'm going to find it now. Although.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Going plant-based doesn't eliminate sugar.
Right.
That's comes out the earth.
Well, that's and this is for me the issue, and I know you went plant-based for a myriad of reasons, but for me, when I'm talking to obese people and people want just one answer, right? I want to solve my situation with X. If carbohydrates are the issue, I will not eat carbohydrates. If meat is the issue, I will not eat meat. And like, as you learned, as I learned, because I tried shit like that.
No.
It's more in depth than that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Did you ever do Atkins?
Yes.
I mean, we've done them all. Did you ever do?
I did fucking Atkins when Atkins was alive. My parents put me on Atkins.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I did Atkins. I did OptiFast. You ever do OptiFast? Yep. That was like you had to go to a doctor and pick up your powder every week. Yeah.
And you sat in group and talked to them. I loved OptiFast because I got fucking diet soda because the doctor was like, drink as much diet soda as you want. And I was like, I'm in heaven. And my mom actually took me off of it because she was a hippie and she went, diet soda's poison. You can't drink this. You're not doing this diet anymore. And I was like, but this is working. I'm losing weight and I'm happy. I'm drinking diet soda. I want to do this diet.
All right. Oh my God. Did you ever do, what was the pill that gave you greasy shits? It was like a fat blocker.
Alley-oops, was it something?
Narcos, I forget. It was a pill that I took that like was a fat blocker. So you could like, it would block 30% of the fat that you ate. It would just go past your digestion straight into your colon or whatever.
That sounds amazing.
Except that it resulted in greasy, oily shit. Sometimes you would go shit and just orange oil would pour out of you. It was the strangest thing.
Because you weren't digesting.
Thing.
It's just stripping that out of everything and flushing and
coming
it.
Through as fucking fat. Yeah, like it was fun. And probably not healthy.
Right.
I did that for a while. But it said right on like one of the cautions or one of the side effects are oily stools. The horrible fucking thing. Yeah, man, I've tried everything. Until the only thing, which is literally reduce and exercise.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all one could do.
Yeah. And I think all of those diets.
Yeah. Work.
Work on, based on that principle, whether it's noted or not. If you're doing Atkins, you're losing fat because you're in a caloric deficit. Even if you're not counting calories, it doesn't require counting calories. To be, like, again, you're not sitting there. I don't know. Maybe you are going like, I have 2,000 calories to eat. I've had 5 cans of beans, so I'm good. You don't have to do that.
I'm doing worse. I'm going like, I don't want to eat more than 1,000 calories. So I can get away with 3 cans of beans, but I'll probably just do 2.
Right. I've seen your hummus, too. That shit looks awesome.
Oh, bro, my hummus is fucking good. The only problem with my hummus is Leron, my DP on Clerks 3. You met him. He taught me how to make it. The only problem with it is it's very tahini based,
right?
So you know, nothing wrong with sesame seeds, but right. Yeah, that's, if you've never seen true tahini, kids, I ain't talking about like what they pass you at some fucking restaurant. I'm talking about straight out Israel, out of fucking, you know, fucking jar tahini. You could probably find it at like Whole Foods or any fucking food store, but Whole Foods, you got glass, you can see it. Shit's peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's just not as sweet. But there, it's the like density
a,
of
a
peanut
butter.
A third
of the can is, a third of the jar is oil.
Oil.
Yeah.
So in order to prep it, you like fucking pop that into the blender and blend it to something that's, you know, not oil separation. And it's, but it's, you know, if it's got oil, it's fucking fat. And it literally is just sesame seeds.
Yeah.
Squeezed real fucking hard and shit. But so,
I want to say to you.
Yeah.
I've been missing tahini. I recently made a tzatziki that was low fat and it was delicious. And in making that, I was like, fuck, I really miss tahini because I love Mediterranean food.
So what was your thoughts on tahini then?
I looked up how do you do low fat tahini because again, I'm going like, it's impossible. Sesame seeds actually by weight have a shitload of fat in them. And this recipe said, basically just take that jar while it's cold, dump the oil and take some and mix it with water.
That's the move?
I haven't done it yet. So I don't know if it tastes great.
I might try to.
But it kills a lot of the fat.
Because it is a very, like, when you see true tahini in the jar, it separates.
Yeah.
The way that, like, you know, a freshly ground jar of peanut butter separates all that oil on top. So is that the same for, like, peanut butter? If, like, you should pour the oil off the top?
Well, here's the thing. Look at if you put a jar of tahini next to a jar of oil, I've seen an inch of oil on top of peanut butter, and tahini, it's usually
half the jar.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Right,
so
right.
I don't know if the peanuts are actually holding onto more fat than they are separated, but PB Fit is a good solution to peanut
That's
butter.
That's the powder shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mix that with water or in.
What's different about that?
It's literally like freeze dried. they basically suck the oil out and then turn it into powder. Like, I don't know how they get the oil out of it, but maybe they just press it so much that the oil comes out and then you're left with powder.
And you mix it with water and make like your own peanut butter. It's just way less oil.
Yeah. Or you put it in non-fat Greek yogurt. I don't know if you can eat that, but something. Mm-hmm. You could probably have a cashew yogurt.
What, you put PB on that?
Yeah.
Man, that's a good. So like if you were like for me, a treat is fucking like, ooh, peanut butter.
Yeah.
Off a spoon, off the jar. Between peanut butter, like, you know, even fucking freshly ground peanut butter. And what's the powdery stuff called?
PB Fit.
PB Fit.
Yeah.
That's probably the better snack.
It's certainly the lower calorie snack.
Yeah. One has less, way less oil.
Yeah.
It's a little life hack, I might add.
Yeah.
It's weird when you take a mouthful of powder, but, you know, as a kid, I used to do a mouthful of fucking Swiss Miss and then another mouthful.
I would not do a mouthful of water or a mouthful of powder. It could be that thing where you, like, inhale some. I would mix it with water.
Tell you, death by fucking peanut butter. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are people out there with peanut allergies. Sorry, but I'm not one of them, and I fucking love peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's like the idea. Remember they showed Homer in hell and they're like, you're going to die from donuts. And he's just like, nom,
yeah, nom, okay. Nom, I'll be happy. Nom. Yeah.
Kevin, oh, good Lord.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, man. Thanks for leading the way. Always being a light.
Like, I'm
fucking
sure,
all those posts are positive, not just like physically positive, where you're like, look at him. He's fucking doing it. But you got the right headspace. You're putting out the right vibe. Very positive up with people. You're never like negative about anything. You're always
I do try to be open about how it's not all easy.
Like, you're never like, oh, you know what, this guy's an asshole, or this movie sucks. Like,
no.
And you're upfront about, like, you know, the work that you put into it and stuff. And I'm so glad that the Fopkin podcast is going so long that I've been here twice now.
Yeah. You believe it? Excellent. I can't wait for the third appearance.
I know, man. Fucking don't wait 2 years.
Yeah.
But we'll do it again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now for the Q&A.
Today's question is from Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Stacy says, so I don't really have a weight problem and I can eat anything I want without gaining weight.
Fuck you, Stacy.
Stacy says, she says, I know, so annoying. But I think I might be what people call skinny fat because I don't really exercise and I just haven't even really done that. I am getting a bit older and I know that I should, but I'm not totally sure what kind of exercise to do. What would you suggest for someone like me for long-term health rather than weight loss per se?
I really think just walking is good exercise for long-term health. And then I think it's really a mixture of resistance training and cardio, and and those can be balanced, and it doesn't have to be lifting heavy weights. It's just a little bit of both of those, you know, picking heavy stuff up, moving it around, setting it down, and getting your heart rate up. And I don't mean up like to the extremes, but elevated a bit for a sustained period of time. Like those two things, however you want to design that. And I think the best way to design it is to find ways of doing that that you enjoy doing that so that you continue to do it. So it's not just like a chore of like, well, my heart needs a little assistance, so I guess I'll make, you know, which, you know, for some people that's a good enough reason and they get it done. But, you know, that was never my reason. But I think really a mixture of some weights and cardio in any way, you know, there are all these classes, Barry's Boot Camp, Orange Theory. I find that they're a little bit too extreme in the cardio, but they do try to do that. It's a mixture of cardio and weights, and you can go at whatever pace you want.
What about a, like, okay, so is resistance training only with weights, or what if you're doing a Pilates class and you're on the reformer machine, or even without the reformer where you're, you know, it's body weight or whatever, like, is that considered resistance training too? It's kind of...
Well, the reformer is certainly resistance because there are springs to make it hard. God, those are torture devices. Those reformers.
Really intense. Yeah.
Yeah. That is resistance. I think body weight after a while, you just kind of, because it's the same weight, or if you're getting slightly lighter or slightly heavier, it changes very incrementally. But the idea with resistance training is that the weight progressively gets heavier. And I don't mean in extremes. I don't mean, you know, you go from a 90-pound bench press to a 315-pound bench press. Not that. But more just that, you know, if you start out with 5-pound weights, maybe over the course of a year, you're at 7.5-pound weights. And you know, they don't feel like impossible to do. Or you move up to 10-pound weights or something like that. I don't know, 5 to 10-pound weights, that's doubling your weight. That seems like a lot. So I don't know if that's the correct thing. But weights or bands or... bands are great because bands are resistance. The reformer, you can increase the resistance on that. Anything like that.
Yeah. Amazing. No, I think that's so good. I've heard, as a person getting a little older myself, I've heard that. It's just something I never thought of when I was younger. It was just like exercise. I don't know, whatever that meant, you know, but the idea of resistance, and especially I think women, there's so much, there has been so much over the years of like, no, women shouldn't lift weights, you know, all that kind of stuff. But like, if you just look at people who do consistently, I don't know, there's like, they're healthier.
Yeah. And it's total bullshit. Women shouldn't lift weights.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it literally could be like all of this stuff we used to do before we had cars and machines to do it all for us. It's about making your body come into contact with stuff that's going to push back against it. That's all. By the way, fucking women, you know, will get huge benefits in offsetting the potential for osteoporosis, which is a big problem for women who are fucking swilling milk. I've sworn a lot in this. I apologize.
Did you say swilling milk?
Yeah, to get that vitamin C so that their bones stay nice and dense.
What is swelling? You mean drinking?
Throwing it back, yeah.
Okay.
You know, reckless manner, you know, milk out of a big beer stein or something like that. And when we're talking swilling, we're not talking about a little dainty milk mustache. We're talking about a milk Santa Claus beard, right?
Okay, got it.
Yeah, but I think resistance training is super, super beneficial. And skinny fat, I've seen those people. And it really wouldn't probably take a lot for her to change her body pretty drastically in a super beneficial way if she's just looking for health.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah. If you have a question that you would like answered on this podcast, please email it to us at americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.